Friends, good morning. It's such a joy to be with each one of you again. And whatever Samson has shared this morning, just press the delete button and take it off. It's a joy to be able to serve the Lord, both within the business area as well as his vineyard. So thank you, Samson, for all you do on Mondays. I mean, whether we are there or not, it is you who, you know, continues to keep this going. Thank you very, very much. Friends, before I proceed, am I audible? I think this is a very necessary question. Am I audible? Maybe Samson, yes. You can answer. Okay.
Yes, you are audible.
Thank you, brothers. Thank you. Sisters also, such a joy. Yeah, we just moved to Mumbai about 2 months ago. We used to live in Gurgaon, and our daughter Sarah found the Lord blessed her with a huge assignment here with a global corporate law firm. And she has adopted a little girl called Talia. Talia in Hebrew means dew from heaven. So she requested Jean, my wife, and myself to accompany her. So this is a new season of life for each one of us. So let's move this morning as we go along. Thank you for coming on this platform. Thank you for cooperating this morning. Well, what we see around us is really hopelessness. I don't think I really need to elaborate this particular topic or subject. Is yes, on one side we think and we keep sharing, you know, that we are really growing in terms of technology. You know, profits are going up, or even stock shares are going up and stuff like that. But there is a sense of hopelessness. And I don't think we need to fool ourselves that, you know, everything is honky-dory. It isn't, you know. But then do we sort of collapse? Do we drown in this particular situation that we find ourselves? I don't have to really elaborate this. I mean, I used to be in advertising many years ago. And some very sincere friends of mine asked me, said, Sam, why are you in advertising? You know what I used to tell them? I used to tell them it's the only good news in today's television and today's newspaper. Okay. And of course, didn't tell them about the gospel at that point of time. But I said that that's the only good news. Advertising is the only good news. So our headlines pain us. I mean, in fact, it's surprising that when we hold the newspaper that our fingers don't burn because of the things that surround us. And one of the things that I picked up that based on the current trends, the world is projected to face as many as 560 disasters each year. And this is like from a very prominent kind of a source. So I was doing a little math and found that 560 disasters, and we have 52 weeks in a year. So that's averaging what? 10 disasters per week. 10 plus disasters per week, you know? And whether we like it or not, this is exactly what's going to be on us. I don't wish to be a prophet of gloom and doom, etc. But that's the ground reality. And the question that I began to ask myself is am I going to sink in this particular situation? And may I tell you, and this is a true confession, is this, I began to prepare this study and began to prepare this subject actually as a victim of despairing. Our eldest son lives in Australia. His name is Peter. Today is, in fact, his birthday today. And he was doing extremely well. And he became the partner of a large design firm, a partner with somebody who actually was a designer for Nike. So, you know, it's at that kind of realm and level. And suddenly his partner gets a heart attack and they have to close down almost overnight this wonderful, successful particular firm. So Peter's been out of a job for almost 4 or 5 months, and today, he's been going to interviews, plus interviews. Praise God that he's found himself an assignment, but still he continues to go for this. And I began to say, I said, Lord, you know, why is this happening to us? I began to despair. I must confess. I wasn't calm. I wasn't thinking. I mean, I also went into that manhole, as it were, despair every morning. So friends, you know, life has become a spiral. All of us are professionals in this area. And we come on Monday mornings to really receive manna. So am I going to really elaborate? Am I really going to tell you more and more about life being a spiral? Well, one of the interesting graffiti that I began to read about was that here is a graffiti which says we all bleed. And we all bleed the same color. No doubt, of course. You know, our blood is red, but you know, you can see the metaphor in this, that we are bleeding in the same color, and what is pervading us is hopelessness. In spite of whatever we try to, you know, whip up a little kind of an excitement, and that we are doing fantastically well, and in spite of all that. But the truth of the matter is, you know, deep inside, we are not happy. We are not, you know, we are not at the peak, as it were, to be able to enjoy life and look at it. So let's consider it in the aspect of, and I know that you will resonate with what I'm saying here, is it's not what we are really that holds us back. I think we are performers, we are achievers, high achievers. But at the end of the day, what is our underpinning? What is our anchor? And it is what we hope for that actually either expands us or confines us. But in the situation that we find ourselves in, largely our hope is becoming a glimmer. Our hope is becoming dimmer. Our hope is losing that sharpness, especially when we see the things around us. And I watch a lot of news about the US, and I mean the things that are happening there. And I look at it because it's, you know, God created that nation. There were godly presidents in that place. And look what is there, and look what's happening today. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, which we are all familiar with, it says, faith is the substance. When I interpret it, it's really the stuff. Faith is the substance. It is the essence of things hoped for. So, and in fact, if the Lord reminds us that if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, then we can move mountains. Okay. I mean, look at it. The Lord was absolutely real in terms of his dimensions. And, you know, am I even getting to that level in terms of hoping the size of that mustard seed? So let's move on and consider, for instance, so do I see this sign amongst the many signages that we are open to or prone to? Is there hope ahead? I mean, haven't things already gone worse? And I mean, we can just sort of think and hope that, well, things would be better then. Achche din aayenge, okay? Most of us have heard that as we see. But let me establish here for each one of us this morning, instead of keeping our focus and be sort of actually being influenced by the headlines that we see or by the events that we see around us, see, godly hope is not wishful thinking, you know? And I'm sure that when we speak to each other in conversation, we say, well, I hope that happens. So I hope that the bridge is going to be opened and these jams are, you know, taken off. We live in a place called Parel, and our daughter found this wonderful place for us called Crescent Bay. And she took this place because it's hardly 2.5 kilometers from her workplace, which is in Lower Parel. And guess what? We'll be lucky if we get there in 45 minutes. Okay. Why? Because, you know, there's a bridge called the Elphinstone Bridge, which sort of clogs up. And we keep saying, we hope the next new bridge is going to come up, open it. So, in contrast to that, godly hope is a sure expectation. It's not wishful thinking. And this godly hope, it takes hold of us as if there is something external, and that is the work of the Spirit. Thus, provided I open myself, I open my life, invite this particular godly hope to take hold of me in the light of the circumstances that we are in. So our hope is only one and singular aspect, and that is our hope must be sharply focused on Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm sure all of us on this particular panel or this platform have experienced personally our salvation experience. I can keep you for nights, you know, sharing of where I was and the pits that I was in and how the Lord brought me into his wonderful family. This is a short prayer that I prayed in my college days, and I said, Lord, I heard about you, but honestly, I don't know you. I think the Lord leaves everything that he's doing to answer a prayer like that. Lord, I heard about you from my pastor, from my family, from my Sunday school teacher, but let me tell you this honestly. What an honest conversation that was. But I said that I believe that you speak through your word. And that was like giving God a toehold into my life. And he did. Well, that we'll keep that story for some other time. He took me into the book of Genesis chapter 22, where Abraham takes Isaac to sacrifice him. And then the Lord, you know, withheld his hand and called that place Jehovah Jireh. I got so angry that I threw my Bible in my hostel room to the corner of my room, saying, Lord, you speak in a language that I don't understand. And the Spirit of the Lord led me for the very first time to read the translation in the margin of my Bible. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord shall provide. He did, because he is a God of his word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was the Lord. So our hope, friends, is singular. Our hope is absolutely purpose-driven. Our hope is not looking here and there in spite of the fires that rage around us. It must be sharply focused on Jesus. And this biblical hope that we call is a confident expectation, because it is based on solid certainty. And it is based on what? The sure promises of God. Why? Because God only, in the environment, in the world that we live in, the only one and only living God, keeps his promises. And why do I say this? I say this with absolute certainty, because you and I can give a word and break it because we are separate. But God and his word is so intertwined, it'll be difficult for us to comprehend with our finite minds. But the acceptance is already there. You and I have already believed, you and I have already experienced, you and I have already seen the way the word of the Lord has led us through in our deepest and worst times of crisis. He will never leave us nor forsake us. It's not because I'm saying this or because the church is saying this. It is because he said it. That's critical and important. Friends of mine, you know, when we have our tea breaks, etc., and say, Sam, there's something different about you. So I said, yeah, I have a PhD. And they say, so they laugh. I said, my PhD is past high secondary with difficulty. So with due respects to our friends who are on this particular platform, that's who I am. That's where I came from. And suddenly the Lord made me a learning person, because all I know is I don't know. But this is one singular thing I know, that he always keeps his promises in spite of my unfaithfulness. I'm sure each one of us rise up every morning to pray and say, thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, which is new every morning. Marvelous, wonderful, isn't it? So without letting the headlines, you know, influence us, without the headlines, you know, sort of storming into our minds and shaping the day for us, if you only ponder that our hope is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our conversations are with Jesus Christ, our Lord. I know that I'd like to replace the word prayer with conversations because it is so natural. It is really, really talking to God. Let me take you for a little while into Romans and chapter 15. And there are just these two verses, 12 and 13. And you know, I like the words because I remember that the pastor that I grew up under was a Nepali pastor. So therefore, while in Delhi, we were shepherding a Nepali fellowship. Didn't realize that the Lord was training us, preparing us, equipping us for the ministry with Nepali people. The pastor used to tell us, whenever you see the word therefore in the scriptures, please pause and think, why is it therefore? Okay. If you see the word therefore, look at it, pause, ponder, why is it therefore? It's not just adding a little kind of an introductory aspect to a statement. So this is exactly what Paul says. And he says, and again, as if, you know, I've said this before to you, but I want to say this again. And he quotes Isaiah and he says, the root of Jesse will spring up. And it will rise to rule over the nations. Why? In him, the Gentiles will hope. What a wonderful word. What a promise. And this is not fiction. This is not something that is, you know, wishful thinking. It will arise. It will rule the nations. He will. In him, the Gentiles will hope. And may the God of hope. Interesting, isn't it? He didn't just say, just may God who, it was enough to say that. But may the God of hope, I mean, a strange descriptor. I mean, God himself is unimaginable, but he brings it home to a morning like this for us, that may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you and I henceforth may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wonderful, wonderful word, you know. So let me very quickly peel for us. I like the word peel because it opens up. So just these two verses, there's a world within these two verses of God's word, which will help us to hope every morning and not be taken up by the circumstances around us. So the source of our hope is not something, you know, way up in the sky. The source of our hope is not our strengths or our political systems or policies or good governance or whatever. It is the God of hope. So the source is God himself. And this is what he says, may the God of hope fill you. That's exactly what Paul is telling the church there. And by nature and the character, God himself is full of hope. And he could have destroyed the world. I mean, after the goof up during creation. But instead, what did he do? He began to work, and he's working till today, till this morning, in your life and in my life, bringing salvation for all, because he does not want even a single soul to perish. So this very God of ours, and Paul keeps reminding us and says, may the God of hope fill you, not anything else. Our confidence is not in anything else. Our confidence, if it is, it will be without any anchor. It'll be like the house on the sand. God is working this right day in and day out. So he is the source of our hope. And I'm continuing to highlight some words which it says, in him the Gentiles will hope. So therefore, this in whom, who is this him? It is Jesus Christ our Lord. So we must never lose focus or never lose the sight of our hope. God is the source of our hope, and Jesus is the sight of our hope. So he came to this world to fix this broken world. I mean, he could, just with one word, sort of destroyed everything. And in fact, the scriptures tell us that after the flood, he was extremely sorry and promised never to do that again. So let us fix. And these words are not mine. So I like the word fix. They are steadfast. They are sharply focused. They are eye to eye. I will guide thee with mine eye, says the Lord. So am I making eye contact with the Lord every morning? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, because my faith is small. My faith continues to be what? Decreasing rather than increasing. And I'm trying to get to the size of the mustard seed. Jesus is the sight of our hope. And the God of our hope is who? He is the supplier of our hope. So it is not us, so it is not me or you who manufactures this hope, or with our skills and competencies that we sort of readjust or change a little paradigms in our mind. So may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, because today is not a day for joy and peace. We may say, well, you know, we're simply fooling ourselves. We will, if we do it by ourselves, we cannot do it. But the Lord God is by our side in saying that he shall fill. May the God of hope fill you. May I allow myself to him filling me, giving me the supply that I need every day. Isaiah 12:2 says, God is my salvation. It is not God who gives me salvation. God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. So he himself is the resources, and in times, if and when our hope begins to wane, and we are natural, let's say, we are human. That is why the Lord said that Jesus is the perfecter of our faith. And let's also be able to be confirmed this morning and hope every morning. He is the quietness, he is the calmness, he is the serenity of our hope. And what do we mean by that particular thing? Is that this is the Lord has confirmed and said, told us in John chapter 14, 27, this peace I leave with you. I may be ascending, I may be going away, but this is going to be your stay. This is going to be always for you. It's not going to dissipate. It's not going to disappear. And the peace which I give you will not be as the world gives it to you. Yes, there are times there are islands of peace. So let not your heart be troubled. What a confirmation. And finally, friends, God of hope is the sufficiency of our hope. We don't need anything more. My grace is sufficient for you. It will not be lacking, so that you and I may, in this state of hopelessness, in this world of hopelessness, may, in the contrast, overflow with hope. It's not just a nice feeling. It's not something, okay, brothers, you know, everything is going to be okay. You know, the Lord is there and we're going to pray about it. No, no, it should not be just a manner of speaking. Our lives must show that we overflow with hope, not because it's wishful thinking, not because, you know, I hope it turns out well. It is because within us is the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I mean, never ever merited this particular sufficiency, this gift of the Holy Spirit. What a joy. The Lord gives it freely to anybody who asks for it. So we should overflow with hope. That why, that we may not just be stagnant, that we may not be just where we are. It's not again, you know, feeding our status quo, but that you and I may abound. That is the message of Monday morning this morning. All this is because of the sufficiency of our hope. The source of our hope, the person of our hope, or the the not losing sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord God wants to pour into our lives this particular superabundance of hope. It's a small word, but yet it is absolutely powerful for the requirements of the day that we are facing and the things that we see. Friends, God is of hope, is the supply of our hope. It's not something that you and I have to strive and, you know, hope and, you know, work against it. Oh no, that once we set our sights on Him and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me overcome. Lord, help me to think through this. And we receive this abundant, abundant hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a reality. The Holy Spirit is not a figment of man's imagination or the writers of the Bible. The Holy Spirit is God Himself, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let's not try to piece this out and try to comprehend it with our finite minds. That's what He said, and that's absolutely a given. Friends, the joy it is to share these few thoughts. So, is there a hope in a hopeless world that we live in? And I would say a resounding word saying, yes, indeed, there is. Why? Because I was this guy in terms of just prior to the preparation of this particular message, because I'm God's postman and He gives me these messages, I was the one who was losing hope. And therefore, I needed to be again brought in the light of God's word. A few thoughts that I've shared with you this morning, and Christ in us is the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So when people say there's something different about you, and in my business programs, I say it is the Lord God. I was born into a Christian family, but I never knew Christ. That's my testimony to the business world. I never knew Christ. But when I began to know Him, He invades my life. He lives in my life, as dirty as it is, but yet He cleans it up and He puts hope in my life. So never lose sight that He, Jesus, is our very hope, that He is the very source, the calmness that we will experience in spite of troubled times, and the serenity and supply of our hope. So friends, it's been a joy to share these thoughts and share it with your friends, with your families, in your workplace. And, you know, no copyright in this. If there's anything, you better copyright in the sense that do it right. So you have a blessed day and a blessed week. And may the Lord bless you and fill you with abundant hope so that you actually, you know, you absolutely go and infect other people with this particular hope. Not just saying that we hope that this will happen. We are certain that this will happen because God is working on the world that seems to be hopeless to us. Thank you very much. God bless each one of you.
Uncle, can you please do the closing prayer as well? That'll be nice.
Okay, Father, we thank You, Lord, for this very precious time. Thank You for the precious souls that You invited and brought them onto this platform. Lord, there is no coincidence with You. Everything is a plan and a purpose. So I believe, Lord, we believe that the word that You have given to us this morning, but we be truly like manna, Lord. And unless we receive it, unless we eat it, it's going to vanish the next morning. But we praise You that You will continue to supply this manna to us because we need it ever so badly. We give You, Lord, our Lord, the only living God, all the praise, the majesty, and the worship because of what You've done for us and continue to do for us in our lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.